Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, welcome back. Dan, give us our general League of Ireland state of play, if you will.
Well, the state of play was determined heavily by the games last week. Last Tuesday, this night last week, Dundalk lost at home to Shamrock Rovers. 94th minute penalty for Rovers, a bit of a contentious award, although maybe the right call on reflection, but it basically opened the league back up because Dundalk were very much in control. And then on Friday evening, Dundalk went to Limerick, and I think after 65 minutes, Dundalk were nil all and Cork City were 1-0 up against Sligo Rovers. At that point of the old live score table, in running, it was Dundalk 1 point ahead of Cork. But Dundalk went on to win the game. Cork went on to concede twice, and now the gap is 6 points. Dundalk 6 points ahead with a better goal difference with six games to go.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, let's bring in Carl Shepherd from Cork City. Evening, Carl.
Evening, lads. How are you getting on?
Yeah, very well. So I'd say that was a sickening realisation when you go back to the dressing room and realise just how close you were with Dundalk for a few minutes.
Yeah, it was, to be honest, it wasn't really the fact that Dundalk were losing or were drawn at any stage in the game. It was the fact that we threw away such a comfortable lead. We were 1-0 up, but it could have been 2-3, maybe 4. We were in that much control, and then momentum's a funny thing in football. They got a goal sort of out of nothing, and then you could just see we maybe panicked a little bit because we knew we have to win this game, and I think that sort of crept into our performance. Sligo took advantages to it, in fairness to them.
Yeah, Carl, I was going to say that the second Sligo goal in particular, you were very open. It's sort of hugely out of character for a Cork side. I mean, and you've sort of maybe preempted it. Was it the sense that, with the situation being as it was, that you felt you had to win?
Yeah, it was. I definitely think it was that. We spoke about it since, and we said, look, the reason why how we got our goal in the first place and why we were doing so well in the game was we were passing the ball, we were keeping the ball, retaining possession. And I think when we conceded, it was sort of, oh no, we've got to score straight away. Whereas we still had 20 minutes left and we should have just got back to basics, doing what we do good, and which was get it down and keep grafting, keep grinding down. We'll be able to get a goal from that. But look, as I said, look, it's one we'll learn from, and still a bit to play for in the league this season. We don't want to hand away our league that easily, but start with the cup on the weekend.
Well, this is it. I mean, you do play a league game before Dundalk play another league game, and you play Dundalk in Turner's Cross. So I guess you got to look at it, you know, win your games in and see what happens, I guess. I mean, is that the only way you can look at it at this stage?
Yeah, that's the way it has to be. Like, we go into it now going, we win all our games. If Dundalk can then get over the line from there, then fair play to them. They deserve the league. But we certainly won't be taking our foot off the gas. We know we need to go out and win every single game, and that includes when the knock comes to Turner's Cross.
Your fitness is back and good and healthy, and when we saw the interview you did with Johnny Ward a while back about the arthritis, which again must have been a shock for you as much as anyone, given that, you know, your age and everything else. You've kind of put all that to bed, and that's all being treated and looked after at the moment, Carl?
Yeah, it'll just be sort of just an ongoing thing. Like, some days it'll be still very sore, and I've had to sort of tinker with my injections every now and again. Just when I thought I had a crack, it was coming back on. But thankfully now I've sort of upped my dosage, and then it seems to be okay at the minute, which, touch wood, hopefully long may continue being all right. And thankfully, look, my performance has started to up to where I want them to be, and I don't think that's really a surprise with obviously the medication starting to kick in. I'd say halfway through this year, John was going, what is wrong with this lad? But thankfully, I'll be able to get back to where I want to be.
And where is it sore? Where does the pain kick in?
It does be very, like, very, very stiff and sore through the lower part of the back, and then that will kick in with migraines as well. So it doesn't be too pleasant, especially when, say, in the evening's time, it can be very, very sore. The exercise actually helps. So thankfully, I'm exercising every day, which makes it a little bit better.
And is there arthritis in your family, or is this just a complete anomaly in every way?
No, yeah, no one that I know of in my family has arthritis or anything. That's why it came as such a surprise to me when the physio first suggested it to me. I was actually laughing at him, saying, you're sort of crazy here. There's no way this can be. But then I went, got the blood tests and tests on, and then it turned out that I did have it. So Like, in fairness to him, he'd done a great job, James Peckett, our physio. So, it was just very much out of the blue.
Yeah, it's a great spot on his part. And I think it was Dr. Sinead Harney you went to see, and I think she may have asked you if you had a rash and you kind of didn't think too much of it, and there was a bit of a rash under your shin guards, and she said that's a telltale sign and suddenly it's arthritis. I mean, I can only imagine your reaction. I mean, that look, frankly, that only happens to old people. What are you saying that to me for?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And in fairness to our physio, he's brilliant. James Peckett, his name is, and right. He knew Sinead. He actually worked alongside her recently, and he knew through her that sort of what she was doing and what she looked into. And then he was just saying to me, look, this doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound muscular or anything. So I went into her, and then, as you said, I just thought it was maybe a sweat rash from shin guards, because it was in the exact spot your shin guard would go, and it's almost in the shape of it. So went into her, and she said, no, that's psoriasis now. So look, we'll send you for tests, but I'm pretty sure you have psoriatic arthritis. And turns out I did.
Because it would have been very, very easy for a year, year and a half, 2 years to go by undiagnosed, at which point you may have just thrown your hat in it and say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just going to have to give up the game. It would have been entirely possible.
Oh, yeah. I was researching it then. Obviously, it's almost when you have the flu, you look onto the internet to find out what's wrong with you. So the second I found out what was sort of up with me and my symptoms, I was looking up online, everyone saying it can take years to get diagnosed, because a lot of people will get like swollen fingers, but I had nothing like that. So in fairness, the two of them are brilliant, and I can speak highly enough of them to catch that early.
Yeah. And so now, based on what you just said a few minutes ago, it's about altering your dosage here and there, and when you're having some troublesome periods, maybe going back and checking what you're taking and having to alter it, and then getting back on track. It's an ongoing situation you're managing, really.
Yeah, thankfully now I'm able to take the injections every week. So I'm taking them every Thursday, the day before a game. I'm just getting an injection each day, or each Thursday I take it. So it seems to be working a lot better. I was on it every 2 weeks, but I just found that after every maybe 7, 8, 9 days after taking an injection, all the problems were sort of coming back then. So
right.
I could have, if I played a game after, say on a Monday, after taking it 10 days ago, I found myself really struggling to move properly, and I found the very sort of immobile I was when I was playing.
Mm. I suspect there is nothing like being able to get back playing largely pain-free after going through something like this to make you appreciate your football.
Yeah, I was, in fairness, when the injection started, it took maybe about 3 or 4 more weeks to sort of get it right. And then I started noticing, you know, I'm starting to score a few more goals again. I'm starting to enjoy it again. And
okay. So you were able to play through it when it was ongoing, before you were diagnosed?
Yeah, badly. I was able to play through it. I was out there, but I'd say I was out there at maybe 70%. And I don't think I really realised how much it was affecting me until it was gone, because as it's human nature to sort of blame other things, blame this and that, and say, I was maybe saying, oh, the goals will come. It's just a matter of fact of trying to get into this spot at the right time. But and honestly, I wasn't in this position to score, because I wasn't able to get up and down the pitch as much as I wanted. But thankfully, since that's gone, I'm back to moving right, back to running right, feeling good.
Yeah. Nothing worse, I would think, than letting yourself down through injury. You're conscious everybody at Turner's Cross is looking at you saying, is this lad getting old before his time, or what's going on with him?
Yeah, there's a... Well, that's even as me in my head now. So now I do be thinking, look, I've got this injury. I don't want people to think, oh, you know what, he could have had a bad game due to his injury. I just want that almost forgotten about now. Now it's play well, don't give people a chance to say, oh, maybe his injury's affecting him in this way or that way. So when I'm out there, I just try and take away excuses from people now, if you get me.
And how's life down in Cork? Generally, they've taken this dub to their hearts, have they?
Yeah, bar a Sunday thing when we play double opposition, they tend to take us okay. If you work hard, from myself and Steve Beattie and Joshua Hanlon, they don't mind us. But when the dubs come up, they have a nice song for us. So we sort of fingers in the air when that goes.
Go on. Well, what's the gist of it? And this is a family show.
Yes, and it'll just go, F the Dubs for a long time.
Pretty straightforward song in many respects.
So what are they trying to say, do you think?
Yeah, it's quite a subtle song, so I'll let other people figure that out.
I was going through your Twitter feed. This one caught my eye. Does anyone know where you can go fishing in Cork that doesn't have 10,000 rules attached?
Yeah, it's something I've actually just picked up now. It's fairness, since I put up that tweet, a few people have got on to me and I'm hooked now to be
Hand
up there.
That's terrible. I'm hooked. Come on.
Yeah, I do be out fishing almost every day like now, so in fairness, it does be very therapeutic. I find myself just hours on end without thinking about maybe football or training, which sometimes, especially after games like the weekend, you need.
Is that right? And had you been fishing in your youth, or just you took a whim and said, I like the sound of it?
No, I've done it a few times when I was away on holidays, yeah. Especially when I was younger. My dad would have hooked me out a few times, but it's just something I thought, you know what, I'll give that a go again, and then really caught the bug for it recently, and the lads were giving me a gripe because the first few times I was catching absolutely nothing, but I've started to catch a few now, so sort of got the gist of it.
Right. Okay.
There's a few other lads doing it, Carl. Is it just yourself, or is it like a dressing room hobby?
No, it was the first day I got myself, Shane Griffin and Stephen Beattie out, and honestly, they had the attention span of 2-year-olds, so after 25, 30 minutes, they were throwing rocks in the water at me and everything, like, so it was, it's just been me for the last while, but I think a few of them, Damien Delaney was saying it sounds really therapeutic, so I think he might be getting on board soon as well.
Jeez, fishing, arthritis, here comes old man Shepherd.
You're not wrong.
If you don't talk about this, there's no problem, actually, but it struck me that you have played for Ireland at under-16s, under-17s, under-19s and under-21s level. And also I noticed on your Twitter feed when the Declan Rice stuff blew up, where you said, I said it before about Liam Kelly, Jack Grealish, now Declan Rice, if someone's called up for Ireland and they have to think about it, they shouldn't be getting another call up, should have pride in our country, should not be plan B, every Irish kid's dream to play for his country. It struck me at underage level that you probably would have encountered this quite a lot, given the FAI policy of going over and trying to hoover up some of the talent that might be available. And I dare say at underage level, you may have had lads who were even less sure about how much they wanted to play for Ireland, but hey, it was international football and they're trying to make it in the game, so they took the green shirt. Was that your experience, or was it generally, you know, you felt lads were committed at underage level?
Oh, no, it was, you definitely get that at underage level. I'd say it's even possibly worse now, when the more money that's coming into the game at say younger level. So if you look at it, I'd say one of my proudest moments of my career was getting an under-21 cap. I only got that under-21 cap because, one, I was playing in League of Ireland and I was doing very well at Shamrock Rovers, but I think the only reason I got that under-21 cap was we had done something absolutely out of unordinary, which was qualify for the Europa League, and I still didn't get a call-up then. It took me to score in the Europa League to be able to get that call-up to the 21, so I was there playing men's football, scoring goals actually in Europe, and then you had lads who were playing under-21 or under-20s reserve football over there. And you come into the squad, you're going, oh, these must be really good, I haven't got a cap yet, and then you're going, whoa, how are these lads in ahead of like so many League of Ireland players or so many under-21 Irish players that I would have played with growing up? And you're just going, something's not right here. Like, you feel as if I was English and I had an Irish grandmother, I'd have much more of a chance getting in the squad than actually being an Irish young lad coming through.
It is a striking thing, I think, under-21 level in particular, Carl, that I'm just thinking that, I think, you know, you would know Seanie Maguire extremely well. You know the talent he is. He didn't play hugely regularly under-21 level. I know he was in the squads. And you can go through examples of players in the senior squad now who maybe at underage level were behind others. I mean, was it something that you're sitting in the dressing room thinking, I'm not sure if some of these guys really, really want to be here?
You definitely, I think of a few players, especially, remember one lad, I think it was Conor Henderson. I think he was with Ireland, went to play for England and came back to play for Ireland again. Very talented footballer, but you'd sort of been thinking, you know, I don't really think you really arsed with playing for us. I think you can see he had quality. You could see maybe why they're thinking, oh, we'll try and get him on our side. But if the call-up came from England, you knew certainly who he'd be going for. So, look, for me, I think it certainly needs to be looked at. If I was in the FAI, I'd be saying, look, yes, we maybe want to get some good talent in, but it can't be at the cost of our own homegrown talent, our own Irish players who we know would love to play for their country, love to get it through. So if it was maybe a max of three players from abroad or something, not abroad, but maybe the English rule coming in, the Irish grandparents sort of rule, maybe then it can be accepted. But I think you'd have a lot less cases of, say, the Jack Grealish, the Declan Rice and the Liam Kelly ones coming in than that.
Yeah, so your point really is that this is an FAI problem, and human nature being what it is, that a young, say, English player with an Irish grandmother or grandfather who's not been picked for England and is given the chance of underage Irish football, international football, is going to take it because you do everything you can to try and further your career. But your point is, you know, the FAI have to get their house in order in this respect. And the kind of implication is, well, the likes of Shawnee Maguire or yourself or others, you know, maybe there's a feeling, well, they'll always be there. They're going nowhere and they'll be there when we need them down the line. But actually, that talented English kid, let's give him a few caps and try and get him in. And you're not so sure that's the right policy.
No, I certainly wouldn't think so. For me, it's safe, for example, with the Declan Rice one, if we go in and play England now, for me, we're almost going in a goal down. You're going, you know what, you're a better team. We're happy to take the players you don't need. For me, that's the way it's looking at it. If it's gone on the Declan Rice one, you're going, if he will get a call-up for England, that's great. It's when, if he doesn't, then we'll take it. It's like, I remember Mark Noble as well saying, if I get an England call-up, that's good. If not, then I'll come play for Ireland. So for me, it's going, you know what, you're a million miles ahead of us. We'll just pick off your scraps, which for me certainly isn't it. And like, there's much pride in our country and much pride in playing with the FAI or anything. So, yeah, I think as you were saying there, it's coercing the English players at young ages doesn't seem to be really working for us when they're taking maybe caps off younger age Irish players. Shawnee Maguire is a good example. Mm. With a few Irish under 21 caps at his age, who knows, his talent could have maybe flourished a bit more.
Okay, interesting stuff. I guess you've been there, you've been in those dressing rooms, so it's good to get your perspective on things. So you were saying Cup is next for Cork, that's what's next
Longford,
on the agenda?
Yeah. Longford?
You gone? You there, Carl?
Sorry,
we lost you.
Yeah, we've Longford on Friday. It's actually on the box as well, I think. So,
right.
Yeah, look, we're retaining the FAI Cup, so we know we need to obviously go out and win there and try and get into the semis, but sure, it'll be difficult.
Well, listen, if you could incorporate some kind of fishing type celebration, you know, pretending like to throw a, you know, throw a bit of fly fishing, that'd be just beautiful. We can look out for that. I wouldn't advise it. So, listen, thanks so much for your time. We might check in with you at the end of the season, see how things go, Carl. Cheers.
No worries. Cheers, gents.
Carl Shepherd there, Cork City. We'll take a break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.